This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
I'm going to continue with Folake's teaching on family breakdown. Okay, we've given you so many statistics and so many write-ups, okay, but I'm still going to give you some few ones more, and then I'll go straight into what the Word of God really says. I think one of the biggest problems we have today is in the society. Almost everyone has been able to identify or affirm that is to do with family breakdown. Even the government, they're stylishly accepting it. But I just want to read something. There are some few write-ups that I've taken that will shock you. I'm just going to quote something from the Telegraph, which was printed in on the 11th of December 2006, and this was written by a lady called Janet Daly. Amen. It says here, this is what Janet Daly said, "We all know family breakdown is destroying us." That's the title. Don't talk, fix it. Amen. And this was written in December 2006. "We all know family breakdown is destroying us. Don't talk, fix it." He says, "None of this will be news to you. Britain is in the midst of an epidemic of social disorder that ranges from minor delinquency to violent crime. Most of the perpetrators of this vicious behavior are young, sometimes very young, habitual offenders. The characteristic of feature of this cycle of civic collapse is that ordinary numbers of children and adolescents seem to be beyond the control of adult authority." So number one, we see that is missing. Adult authority is missing. Then he goes on to say, "There is clearly an absence of parental discipline of even the most minimal kind. All of this you will have concluded simply by looking around you as you go about your business in urban or even urban and suburban life. You might also have figured out for yourself that these roving bands of aggressive, immoral youths who might progress from intimidation through vandalism to major felony are in effect homeless. That is, they lack what were once considered the basic provisions of family life. Two parents, a sense of belonging to a stable household, even if it was poor, and a behalf that their lives were tied into some wider network of relationships with adults. Most of this is self-evident. Since you're a reader of this newspaper, you're almost certainly aware as well that for at least a decade, empirical evidence has been amassed in voluminous quantities, analyzed to exhaustion and published in profiling studies on the causes of these statistical essays, have come to an identical conclusion. The principal cause of the ugly blight that is destroying the quality of life in our cities and even many of small towns is the decline of the institution that used to bind together one man and one woman in the lifetime undertaking of raising their offspring." This was written on the 11th of December 2006. The topic is quite long, okay. And as I looked at that, and I looked at another topic that was written. This was the Congress in 1974. The USA Congress in 1974 gave top priority to youth crime prevention by addressing, among other factors, family problems. Adopting other factors, among them was family problems. Adopting the approach recommended by the Crime Commission of 1967. Today, however, the U.S. youth justice system has reconceptualized youth offenders as violent predators, warranting retribution rather than as wayward children in need of a guiding hand. So what did they do? They said, rather than say, let's pamper them, look at what they have done and see it as being wayward, as it is. So this paper argues, now, we now come to the paper that was written by this is the American, the Ian Duncan Smith research, which they did of recent. He says, this paper argues that in order to avoid tackling the symptom and not the cause, the spotlight has to be turned on the family. He says, most British families function well, nurturing children to become law-abiding citizens. Broken families, however, are often the places where the seeds are sown for future criminal activity. The Social Justice Policy Group's report, Fractured Families, look at the role of family breakdown in pathways to crime and disadvantage, and drew attention to three distinct but overlapping forms of family breakdown, which we spoke about last week. Dissolution, where parents part after having children together. Dysfunction, where parents are not able to provide their children with a sufficiently nurturing environment. And dadlessness, 15% of all the UK children grow up without resident father. 15%, that's great. Many of these dads may never have been committed to their children's mother and are unable to provide the essential security which the children need as their identities form. And then you see, we then go back to the Word of God. The father is to nurture the children. Amen. And then there are quite a few quotes here. Dadlessness. Some young ones who were spoken to. This is a tenant in YMCA. He says to the Social Justice Policy Group, this was what this person said. He said, my dad walked out when I was young. Once my mom had a new boyfriend, she had more time for him and less time for me. I started going wrong at school. My head just went elsewhere. Come 14 or 15, I dropped out of school. I got into fights, hoping that I would live through. I took drugs. Me and the boyfriend got into a fight. The police were called. She wouldn't leave him, so I walked out. Okay? So she got into a fight with her mom's boyfriend. Then here's another quote. My dad left when I was about 7 or 8, and then we lost the house, and we moved onto the estate. My mom had to go out and work and get as much money as she could. It was quite difficult getting the maintenance of my father. Anyway, we were left to it, really. We were always scruffy, and I suppose rather than be picked on, I stood up for myself. So I soon gained a reputation, that sort of fighting boy. I got drunk from about 9 or 10 years old. I was out roaming the street to all hours of the night. There were letters threatening to exclude me from school within a week of me being there. And by the time I was 12, my behavior was off the wall, and she put me into care. Within a week, I was introduced to other things, and I began experimenting. I also clocked up my first criminal conviction for shoplifting between the ages of 14 and 16. So what are we saying here? You're saying what dadlessness can do. So it still takes us back to what God said. I was 19, had been back twice, and had been gone taking heroin between then and 24. I was constantly in and out, more in than it was just in. I received 7 years imprisonment for drug offenses. This is a guy called Craig. This is another quote. Didn't really know my dad. I felt that if he didn't care, then neither did I. I hated school, but I think if dad had been around, it wouldn't have been so bad, as he could have helped me. Another quote, my dad spent a lot of time in prison when I was little, so I didn't have time around to push. He didn't have time around to push me when I needed it. Another quote, I hate my dad for leaving us. Three young people on an entry to employment scheme. This was by three young people from an entry into employment scheme. Okay? These are youths who have been excluded from school. You found out that everything is going back to the father. Okay? And then he says, we all know children who were raised well by lone parents, but the evidence of a series of UK studies show strong correlations between broken homes and delinquencies. So he says 70% of young offenders come from lone parents' families compared to children in two parent families. Children in one parent families are significantly more likely to smoke weekly. 2.4 times at age 12 and 1.7 times at age 17. Drink weekly. So when you look at this, you find out that it is very essential that the society go back to that institution that was set up by God. I'm just going to quickly give you another quote. UNICEF did a comprehensive assessment of the lives and well-being of children and adolescents in economically advanced nations. This is a quote from UNICEF's report. The true measure of a nation's standing is how well it attends to its children, their health and safety, their material security, their education and socialization, and their sense of being loved, valued, and included in the families and societies into which they are born. So it comes back to the inclusion. It comes back to the final word is family. Amen. And that's why the Bible says that God puts the lonely in what? The solitary in what? In families. Families are very important. At the moment, the struggle we're having in this nation or any nation is the breakdown of families. So having looked at most of the research done by the Conservative Party and other researchers, I'm compelled and persuaded that for a family to function properly, it has to be in accordance with the Word of God. We cannot separate the Word of God from how a family is raised. Amen. God will help us. Amen. And I'm looking at all this, I've come to the conclusion that marriage should be once again encouraged. The family unit has to be reinstated, and we as Christians must encourage it in every way. Let me give you something that will shock you. As I was going through this research, I came across something that really shocked me. Okay? And I believe it will shock you. Artificial birth control is the root cause of breakdown in family. That comes to you as a shock. This was written by a guy called Philip Elf Lawler for the Tribune. He says, a generation ago, American politicians debated about the Cold War and the Vietnam conflict, the problems of poverty and racism, and the challenges of the space program. But back in 1968, did anyone forecast that we will soon be talking about a general breakdown in ordinary family life? Yes, someone did. And guess who that was? It was a Christian. It says, some 30 years ago, Pope Paul VI issued Humane Vitae, an encyclical letter that upheld that the time-tested Christian teaching that artificial contraception is morally wrong. In 1968, Pope Paul worried, a man who grows accustomed to the use of contraceptive methods may forget the reverence due to a woman. And disregarding her physical and emotional equilibrium, reduce her to being a mere instrument of the satisfaction of his own desires. No longer considering her as his partner, whom he should surround with care and affection. Okay? Now, this man, interestingly, asked a question. Today, in the midst of an epidemic of domestic abuse, thoughtful people ought to ask, was Pope Paul right or wrong? Yes. Amen. Now, let me go on. This is what Mohandas Gandhi said. He said, There is hope for a decent life only so long as a sexual act is definitely related to the conception of precious life. This is what another person says, Sigmund Freud. Moreover, it is a characteristic common to all perversion that in them reproduction is put aside as an aim. This is actually the criterion by which we judge whether a sexual activity is perverse. It departs from reproduction as its aim and pursues the attainment of gratification independently. Now, I'm just looking for another quote because there was another one here. And this quote was actually by the man who introduced contraception. Here he says, with divorce almost climbing more and more, young children are growing up without the support of both the parents. Among married couples who do not use contraceptives, the rate of divorce is negligibly low. In 1965, more than three quarters of all American newborns came home to a married mother and father. By 1990, that figure had slipped from one half. Few social scientists dispute the gravity of these trends. Children who grow in a single-parent household are more likely to fail in school, more likely to experiment with drugs, more likely to commit crimes, more likely to spend time in prison. If contraception is a leading cause of family breakdown, then we are pouring fuel on the fire with condom giveaways and exporting our problems to the third world through family planning programs. And if contraception is not to blame for the burgeoning crisis in American family life, can anyone offer a better explanation? Now listen to Dr. Robert Kistner, who of Harvard Medical School. He actually helped to introduce birth control. But this is what he said years after. For years, I thought the pill would not lead to promiscuity, but I've changed my mind. He confessed, I think it probably has. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Having looked at all that, I just said to myself, I'll just give you those quotes before I go to what the Word of God says in Joshua. Joshua 24:14-15. Joshua says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. And if it seems evil on the other flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seems evil unto you this day, whom you will serve, whether the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Church, we live in a day when words like love, commitment, responsibility, compassion, faith, church, righteousness, common sense has been replaced by political correctness. God, the Word of God, they've actually virtually been eroded from the society. And I do attribute this to the broken down of values. And when you have lost values, godly values, then there will be a breakdown in families. When you look at this scripture here, Joshua was basically, that's Joshua 24. Did I say 12? Oh, forgive me, please. Forgive me. Oh, sorry, Joshua 24:14-15. Okay. When we look at what Joshua was saying here, Joshua was basically saying that if you want your home to be broken down, that is how I'm going to put it. I don't want mine to be broken down. I'm not going to act the way the gods of that land. I'm not going to serve their gods. In short, if political correctness is saying that a man can marry a man, a woman can marry a woman, but what is the Word of God saying? If political correctness is saying that you cannot discipline your child, what's the Word of God saying? You understand what I'm saying? If political correctness is saying that two women can raise up a child, right? And we see here from every research that has been done that you need a man and a woman to raise up children to hold the family values. And the family values have been lost. And we, the church, are gradually creeping into it. The Bible strongly emphasizes the family However, in today's world, if you try to encourage a family to do as God has commanded, you hear comments like, you're a fanatic, or this is the 21st century. But the truth is that the God of the 21st, we have a God who is the God of creation. He's still the God of the 21st century. But guess what? The devil has not changed. He's still the same. He's still playing the same games. Okay? And I've discovered that the weakness of the family today is the lack of the knowledge of the word of God. And the Bible says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge and understanding. There's also the unwillingness for us to obey the word of God. And the society is gradually kicking against the word of God. The society is gradually, the church is no more relevant. And because the church is no more relevant, the word of God has been pushed to the back. And that's what Joshua was saying there. Was clearly saying that you have a choice whether to serve the true God, to serve the God of the Bible, or to serve the God of you want to serve. But as for me and my household, I'll serve the Lord. And I tell you, as I was preparing this message, I had to repent. I had to repent for my own life. Because when you look at the fact that we're so busy, you're here, you're there, there is a tendency for you to neglect your family. The word of God tells us in the book of 2 Timothy 3:15 that Timothy knew the holy scriptures from childhood. Okay? Which means that the onus is on us as fathers. The onus is on the fathers to begin to teach their children, to begin to nurture their children. It is important for our children to know the word of God. It takes parents who are willing to make the commitment to study the word of God and then teach it to their children. That's why the Bible says, commit the word that I've committed to you. Commit to faithful men who will also teach, okay, others. And so there is that need for the church to go back. A child must learn to have a relationship with God through his word. A family can never be right with God as long as the parents are not having a relationship with God through his word. And there will always be a family breakdown if the two involved in that relationship do not have a fear of God and not following the word of God and not obeying the word of God. The biggest problem we have is that everyone now does their own thing. Amen. The Bible says men did what was pleasing to their eyes. Amen. Everybody went their own way. But when we really look at it, okay, we have to come to that conclusion that from the divine creation, family was what was on the heart of God. Okay. So in Genesis 1:27 to 28. Says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. You know, when I got to this point, something occurred to me, a lesson we're teaching somewhere on Sunday, when they asked the question about birth control. And I didn't have an answer to it. And then he just hit me here. Now this is what God is saying. He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Okay? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. I don't know how to explain this. But when you look at what was written there, which I read earlier about birth control by Philip Lawler, you can then see where there is a problem in the society because of birth control. So there is no more faithfulness in the man. They're moving from one person to the other because they believe, okay, I'm safe. But that is not what God said from the beginning. That has not been God's plan from the beginning. God's plan from the beginning has been one man, one woman. And then he talked about living and cleaving. Okay. And looking at it, I just came to the conclusion that we cannot afford to swap God's principle for man's ideas. There will always be a conflict. There will always be a conflict. And I've looked at many countries that have decided to kick God out. And you gradually see the country disintegrate into a nation of anarchy without knowing. I remember Great Britain very well, what I've read about Great Britain, the number of missionaries that were sent to different countries. And I remember that when you talk about Great Britain, you talk about a nation of integrity. A nation where people, you know, when you say something, it was taken, it called a gentleman's agreement. You understand? But the minute we started kicking God out of schools, God out of every fiber of the society, what we're saying is, take your edge off. You know, when you look at, I think it's Psalm 126, I believe it is. It says, as the mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. You understand? And when you say you do not want God's values anymore, what you're saying invariably is, God, we don't want you. And you're giving the enemy a field day to come in and have his way. And I've seen it so many times in nations who have turned away from God and followed materialism. I've seen it so many times. America was birthed out of prayer. Men who were faithful worshippers of God. But the minute America began to say, we don't want this, we don't want this, take out the Ten Commandments, take this out, that was the beginning. Amen. And I want you to understand something which I found out, that the family was created before the church. Amen. Amen. When God created Adam and Eve, the Bible says he planted a garden and he placed them there. And as I meditated on that, what I discovered was that you've got to be a man before you become a husband, before you even become a father. And as I looked at that, I realized that what God did here was to build a home for man. And when he built that home, he put man in there. And that was when he said, go ahead now and begin to reproduce. But what we see today are young men who don't even, they don't have a job, they don't have a qualification, and they want to reproduce, they want to have a family. And there's so much encouragement going on saying, if it feels good, do it. But that's not God in God's word. Amen. The family is a unit. And the family will affect the church. And the church will affect the society. Amen. So that's why there's always been that saying that if you build a strong family, you're going to build a strong church. And if you have a strong church, you're going to have a strong nation. So it has to start from the family. Because the family is a divine institution. Amen. And there are values that have been eroded from our society. Exodus 20:12 tells us, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And I'm seeing gradually how even some parents allow their children to call them by first name. There is that paddy paddy. Listen, I learnt of recent that my child does not have to be I don't have to be a friend to my child. I am a father to my child. I love my child. I love my children. But I'm a father. And if we take away the fact that you're a father or a mother, then what you're breeding a nation where there will be no respect, where there will be no honoring of elderly people. And that's what is happening. And here it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And when we look at our society now, in the past, it's going to be a year, by the end of this December, we've had maybe 23 killings, right, of young ones. And those are the ones we know. You understand? And why do children get into trouble at school? Why do children get into trouble outside? Because they're not honoring their parents. Amen. And you know, in Ephesians, it says, so that it might go well with you. Amen. So the most important thing to notice is that the father and the mother is a unit. And it is important to understand that there is fidelity in that unit. Amen. The joy, the love, everything is in that unit. And that's when children feel they are safe. That's where the security is for them. And as I looked at this, as I was preparing it, I just came to the conclusion that the bulk lies at the feet of the fathers. Children, obey your parents. Ephesians 6, 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Is it amazing that we're losing so many young ones? Okay, we're losing so many young ones now. Because there is no more honoring, there is no more respect. And it doesn't really matter, and I'm not saying this frivolously. It doesn't really matter how much we cry out there and say, oh, help this young one, this, stop them, get the knife off them, get the gun off them. If we do not take them back to the source of a word, to the values that were laid by God from the onset, we're going to have a problem. We will still have a problem. You can make as much campaign as you want. The church has to go back. The nation has to go back to God's order. Amen. Someone asked me a question once and said, but there is this God, there's that God, there are different religions. Why do we have to pray to your God? And to tell the truth, I didn't have an answer. Because I knew if I said, the word of God says, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. They're going to say, yeah, but that was Jesus. The Lord just laid a word in my heart. Said, say to him, I'm not a God of confusion. And he kept quiet. God is not a God of confusion. And that's why he has put order. He has put order on this earth. He's given us the Ten Commandments for us to follow. And I liked when you were teaching on values, when you spoke about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is actually what makes you understand the value of life. Is what makes you understand the value of having a family. Is what makes you respect society. It's amazing, because if you don't really sit down and look at it, we can just say it, just say the Ten Commandments. But when you taught it, I sat down and I thought about it, that the Ten Commandments actually gives you the principle of living in society. And what other principle do you want? It's the most easy principle to follow. Don't steal. Don't covet. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. You understand? But when you look at it, we've gone completely away from that. And then he goes to say in verse 6, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them. Nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. And that's the key there, to nurture. To nurture. And that's why we're seeing that a dadless society is causing the havoc that we're seeing, because there's no nurturing. There's no more nurturing. So how far away have we gotten from godly family today? How far are we away from the word of God? Then we wonder why our kids grow up to live wicked, immoral, ungodly lives, and have no desire for spiritual things, because they're not being nurtured. Okay? And that's where family breakdown has come into play. Divorce is rampant. Okay? And we have some churches who will say to you, oh, don't worry, just go ahead. But rather than try to bring... Do you know, sometimes it's amazing when you really sit down and you look at the causes why we want to separate. There are things that can easily be fixed if we can just bring our heart back to God. They are. And you know, Timothy warns us that the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but their own lusts, and they shall heap upon themselves teachers, and having itching ears. And that's the saddest thing about the church today. Okay. The way to build godly families is to have a good church that preaches the word of God and stands for it. The way to build a godly family is for parents to go to church and take their children to church. The way to build a godly family is not to pamper your children. It's to bring back the word of God, to bring back love, to bring back relationship into the home. And I think that's where the nation is faltering. I think we have given ourselves to too much of material things. And I've looked at my life also, just preparing this, walking too much, not being there. You know, sometimes when the two parents are working, it causes problem. We know we need the money, but there's got to be a balance. There's got to be a balance, and that's what's missing in the society. When they talk about American society, if you go there, you will see the rate at which they're working. They don't have time for anything. Even for you to take a holiday, go to the doctors, it's costing you money. So because people want to constantly keep their bank account in the green, which unfortunately you can't do, because new tech, high techs come in every day, and you have to, new things happen every day. Take England, for instance. If you were earning £100 some 10 years ago and could buy you enough food to eat for a week, now you need at least four times that same. And so what do? You want to work harder to meet your outgoings. Okay? So, and Eli was responsible for nurturing his children. But he didn't, and he got into trouble. When God spoke to Joshua and Moses, it was for them to do the nurturing of their family, to read the word of God to them, whether they were driving, whether they were eating, whether they were sleeping, whatever they were doing. When Moses' father-in-law went to advise him, he spoke about the neglect of his family. He said, "You were doing so much for these people, but you're neglecting your family." And that really hit me when I was preparing this. Okay. So how do we stop family breakdowns? We have to come back to the word of God. We have to bring the family back to the table. We have to show love to our children. We have to be there for them. Okay. There's another story I read, but I won't be able to. I'll just quickly give you that in a nutshell. It's about these twins. I think they lived in Northern Ireland, who their mother was killed in a car accident, and they had to grow up with their father. But unfortunately, their father, because he had lost the mom and the wife, could not cope on his own, and so he started drinking. Okay? And this was filmed, the film base. He started drinking. And they filmed them when they were very young. And after a while, they went back to see them. And let me just quickly read here. It says, last year, Koratis returned to Kodaram to catch up with the now 22-year-old Mark and Jason. For some, the last section of our film will be a damning indictment of the failures of their family and the state to help the twins evolve from traumatized children to adult life. Now, these children, listen to this, went from fostering home to fostering home. Okay? So, this is what one of the boys said. I would have stayed at my dad's and got kicking every few days when he came in drunk. I would have stayed at my dad's and got kicking every few days when he came in drunk. What does that say to you? He's saying that he wouldn't have minded being at home. Even when his dad came home drunk and kicked him and hit him, he wouldn't have minded, rather than being moved from home to home. And you see what we're doing to our young ones also. Although Jason fared better living at his aunt and uncle's house until he was 18, also has a criminal record, no qualifications, both are struggling to find employment, smoking cannabis when they can afford it, and avoiding debts. So this is what the producer says. It says, it is difficult to draw a conclusion, But anyone watching should ask themselves, what would I have done differently? Both boys set off on their own path, and you wonder what kind of intervention could have averted that. Now, the title of the film is You Are Not Splitting Up My Family, and it was on Channel 4. When we look at this, the question I want to ask today is, what are we going to do as a church? Okay, what are we going to do as a church? Because it's interesting to listen to this, it's interesting to teach this, but the fact remains that God wants us to do something. Amen.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.